Hello, everybody, and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is Season 2, Episode 1, Trials and Tribulations, and this one opens up with Caruso looking out the window.
So, do you think he stood there since the last episode, looking out the window?
Well, here's the thing that's really funny. I feel like Robin was a real afterthought when they were making this episode, because if you watch the episode, Robin is mentioned once, and she's in one scene. And the mention she has is, like, completely ADR'd, and no one said it. Like, somebody said it in a recording
booth. No, Adonna says, oh, Robin says she'll meet you at this bar.
But it definitely wasn't the same audio as her other stuff. You know what I mean?
Like, he was on screen. They were talking to Sipowicz, and Caruso was behind them, like, behind him, and Sipowicz was talking to Fancy, and you hear Donna go, oh, Robin blah 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 called and said she'll meet you at this bar. And then he goes, okay. And then he, like, steps out.
Because it makes it more funny, because the end of season one is Robin shows up at Caruso's place, and they bone. And then the beginning of season two, there's a knock on his door, and Lacalce comes in.
You think it's going to be Robin.
It's Lacalce, and she basically just gives you the exposition of, like, hey, the trial, you know, you're going to have to start talking at the trial. And then they make out for a second, and then Caruso's like, let's not confuse what this is.
Hella weird. Because why would you have her come over that late at night if you weren't looking to get some?
And also, really, like, I feel this way. Their makeout, especially...
Real quick, she only comes over for, like, 5 minutes.
And they have...
You could have had that conversation on the phone.
Also, they, like, do this weird makeout where, like, Caruso grabs her face.
Yeah.
And then, like, pulls it in and then pushes it away. Like, it was so weird and scary.
It's so weird because this is what I think. I think they had a storyline set up, and then Caruso was being a bitch because this is the beginning of the end for him, because he thinks he needs more money. So they weren't going to pay him any money, so they worked out a deal to write him off. And then, so what I think is they had planned to use Robin in a storyline. Mm-hmm. And then fucking Caruso fucked it up, so they're like, all right, we got to end this shit with Robin. Because fast forward, he basically breaks up with Robin because he's still in love with Lacalce.
But, there's a moment, because you made the joke at the beginning, do you think he was standing there since the end of... since the end of season one, if you remember, like, when they sit down at the restaurant after he kicks that guy out, which we'll talk about
later. That guy deserved to get his ass kicked. Like, yeah, whether or not, like, even if Caruso's a dirty cop, because he is a dirty cop, he's lying under oath, he's dirty.
Yeah.
In a sense. But even though he is kind of a jerk and, like, he's in the national media, that guy didn't need to be an asshole for no reason.
And he didn't just go, like...
Robin. She didn't do anything.
Yeah, because he goes, does this woman killed anybody yet? And it's like, that's a fucked up thing to do for no reason
it's like,
whatsoever.
Whoa. I mean, bitches be crazy, but not all of them.
But if you remember, when he sits down with Robin, she goes, how are you? And he's like, I'm okay, all things considered.
Isn't it weird that they talk about it?
Yeah, and then she goes... Well, I haven't, like, seen you, really, in 5 months. So it's been 5 months since the end of season one.
That's right.
And he hasn't even talked to her that much. So that means, like, he banged her, they didn't really hang out, and then they go to have a date, and he's like, so I kind of want to sleep with Lacalce.
They both kind of take it like it's the end of a long relationship.
And also, because they were friends first, Robin kind of gives this, like... Well, also, Robin has a very devil-may-care outlook, because she just got tons of money from her rich ex-husband.
No offense. She can get better dick than Caruso. Like, that's real.
So, like, she kind of was like, okay,
like,
you don't want to be enough.
Just settling because they're friends, and there's that aspect. But if, like, Jimmy Smits came around the corner, she'd ditch that ginger in a second.
Like we all did. In
season- It still surprised me that ginger just keeps getting pussy left and right. Like, they sent him out getting double pussy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's weird.
Basically, this episode also has a lot of trial stuff, because Lacalce's on trial for shooting Marino and his driver.
Which, no offense, watching this trial stuff, I have a respect for Law and Order.
Because like, they're
they
better.
Can write trial scenes. I didn't feel like these trial scenes were great.
The only person who's really killing it is, what's his name? Daniel...
Yeah, James Sinclair.
Daniel Baralli, I think his name is. All the James Sinclair stuff is, like, rad from beginning Benzali. To end. What did you say?
Daniel Benzali.
Benzali.
No, he kills it. I think it's in the third episode he gives his closing argument.
Second episode.
His closing argument's the shit. Like, it's good.
He also goes in.
Like, he like woke up that day like, I'm gonna act the shit out of this scene and then I'm gonna go home.
Well, he also acts the shit out of another scene because the story goes where basically they're trying to see if LaKelsey had prior motive to killing Marino and his driver before she showed up and killed them. Because if she thought about it in the moment, then it's a reaction.
And the prosecution has some witness. It's someone's girlfriend, right? Yeah. Isn't that brought up too?
And her name's like Gia DeMarco or something?
Yeah.
But basically, she comes in and says, I saw LaKelsey with John Kelly while she was working for Marino. Or something like that. Basically,
no, she saw John Kelly watching a meeting between her boyfriend and LaKelsey. So she knows that Kelly saw them together and knew that she was working for the crime family. That's why he stole the ledger and tore the name out.
In response to this, LaKelsey calls the DA behind Sinclair's back and says, I'll take a plea for like 6 years.
Does that happen that fast? I thought that was the second season, because the trial goes on for a long time.
It happens this episode because James Sinclair has that line where he, basically he goes, you want to have a meeting with my co-counsel, pointing at LaKelsey, because she's fucking up his stees. And he kills the scene between LaKelsey and him and John Kelly. He, like, completely destroys the room. He's so much better than these regular players. But he does this one line after LaKelsey leaves the room, because he has to prep John Kelly for cross-examination and questions and shit. And he says, basically, he's like, I can get you better than 6 years if you just let me do my job. So then Kelly goes hard-ass and goes, can you? And he says, yeah, I can if you just, you know, let me do my job. And then he says that line when John Kelly's like, well, that's the truth. And he says, truth? The truth and a trial has as much to do with each other as a hot dog and a warm puppy.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a fucking sweet-ass line.
And I really like the scene when he has LaKelsey leave and he's just talking to John Kelly about, he's like, I need the jury on my side when LaKelsey takes the stand. He's like, can you do it? He's like, yeah. He's like, let's go. Like, just like, and then he kind of, then that scene was cool. Caruso did a good job in that scene. That was like a twist.
To go back to one thing, when the meeting with Robin.
Yeah.
The one scene she gets before she gets to fuck off for the rest of NYPD Blue. Yeah. Because she goes, how is she doing? And then Kelly goes, who? And she goes, who? Hillary Clinton, who?
Yeah.
Wasn't that kind of weird that now Hillary Clinton, you know, most likely our president?
Yeah, but she was, I mean, what it should say is that we don't change our politicians, but...
Yeah, that's true, we don't.
What it says more is that we keep the same politicians around and we don't have anything new. Like, Hillary Clinton, well, that's a joke in, like, what, 94?
Yeah, 94, know what I mean? 95. Let's talk about who's important, and that's Sipowicz.
Yeah, he's been going to meetings.
He's going to meetings. He's sober.
He won't go out with Sylvia until his sponsor,
Peter Boyle.
Peter Boyle, Frank Ramone from Everybody Loves Raymond.
And
Mono.
And Frankenstein from Young Frankenstein.
Yeah. R.I.P. Gene Wilder.
R.I.P. Gene Wilder, the best. But what's insane is he's like really good as this ex-cop who's kind of racist, but not completely racist?
No, he just... I don't think it's race. I just think he, like... He grew up in a time where whites could say whatever they wanted. So he's basically just like, oh, all these Mexicans and women. Like, no way could men work around women, you know? But And then he makes fun of Martinez's height, which I thought was kind of funny.
But he also kind of relates to him, where he says, like, you had to be 5'9 to be on the force. He's like, yeah, I'm glad they got rid of that regulation. And he's like, yeah, dudes were doing all types of crazy shit. And he goes into that old man thing, where, like, old men think you want to talk to them. You know what I mean? Because do you know James Martinez is like, I'm being nice, but I really need to get back to work.
James Martinez is the nicest guy on that show. Right? If you really think about, like, the whole run, other than shooting a guy from Medavoy, he doesn't really do anything mean to people. He's really nice guy.
He threatens a couple people.
But, like, because he has to. But you know what I mean? But it's not vengeful. It's not hateful.
He's never done anything, like, fucked up.
Yeah. Like, later on, we meet Gina, and he's, like, the nicest guy to her. Mm-hmm. You know? So, anyways.
Well, Sipowicz is looking for permission to go out with Sylvia from Peter Boyle.
Yeah, Peter Boyle has to approve. He needs the approval of his sponsor.
And he gets the approval and he goes out with Sylvia.
Well, first he doesn't because he's worried about him.
But he also does this weird thing where he asks her out but doesn't ask her out. And then once he gets the okay from Peter Boyle, then he
he straight tells her, like, I want to ask you out, but there's some things that need to happen first. Well, Peter Boyle says, you can't, yeah, go ahead, but I'm going to be, we have a contract, we have this, we have that. Then he's like, okay, we'll do it.
So during the trial, the prosecution tries to make a case that John Kelly knew that Lukowski killed Marino, and he saw the ledger while it was evidence during the case of another killing, the Lunardi killings.
Yep.
Because he has Marino's old ledger, and the implication is that while he had it as evidence, he ripped out pages and then told Lukowski.
He had it for a long time.
And he told Lukowski, hey, you better just come forward so that you'll get off.
They really believe that she did kill him, and they think that she's only coming forward because
John Kelly told her to.
No, because what's-his-name's dead, and he was charged with it, so there's no way that they could end up being charged. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, that pisses off people. I think that pisses off attorneys.
Also, that creates an interesting thing with IAB, because now they start thinking, maybe John is a dirty cop. So, yeah. During this episode, there's a robbery of a drug dealer. And in the process of the robbery of the drug dealer, the two dudes that committed the robbery, they also pushed a kid down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically hook up with the skell, as they would put it, and they set him up to be robbed so they can catch the guys in the act.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, those guys are off-duty cops.
Yeah, they're night tour.
Night tour cops, not off duty.
I think he says at one point those are night guys.
So these night tour cops rip off these drug dealers, and you know Sipowicz and Kelly bring them in because that's what you do when you catch guys in the act. And now IAB has free reign to look into their shit. At the very end of this episode, IAB is going hard on them for taking, like, basically arresting these guys and not reporting that it was them.
Yeah, that's like their biggest. That's the thing they keep bitching about, is why didn't you tell us that you were going after cops? If you knew they were cops, why didn't you tell us? And Sipowicz has that line where they're like, given, he doesn't go in right away to talk to Fancy, he's putting the cops in the rooms, and he walks in while the two IAB guys, and this is when we first meet Martens, he's not in the first season.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time we meet Martens. He's IAB for the whole
series.
Show. I love Martens.
Martens is the best.
It's my favorite characters. Sipowicz walks in, and then they're giving a Crusoe shit, like, you know, why didn't you tell us they were cops? And Sipowicz is like, oh, because we love, you know, we love it when we, he goes, we always go in hoping that it's one of our own that we can catch. Like, he says it to, and then, like, the lieutenant, I've seen that's done with Neff at work, where he, like, makes a comment, and the boss is just like, Neff! And then, like, Neff kind of gets like, okay, my first comment was my last one, and that was kind of like how it was with the lieutenant, because he's like, Sipowicz! And then Sipowicz just, like, stops, but he's, like, super pissed off. It was one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, it becomes it's them writing Caruso off, which you can really see in these first four episodes. It's them making a ramp to launch Caruso away from the show.
Yeah.
And they
set it up like it's going to be the trial is going to get him, but then it's something else. It's this thing.
And IAB is now has Rain to go through his stuff, which we don't really see how hard they're going to go through all of his stuff until next episode. But the first thing they say is, we need your reports.
Yeah.
And Sipowicz says,
Andy says he'll do his tonight.
He'll do his tonight, and Kelly would do his in the morning. And basically, Sipowicz is like, I'm just going to take care of it now, because this is bullshit, and I want to go home, and I don't want to deal with this later. I just want to get it over with.
But the other thing that happens in this episode we didn't talk about is there's that woman who she wants her husband out after she beat him up, and so they have to go to the arraignment. So while Kelly's in court, Sipowicz is watching the arraignment of this man who beat up his wife. And then at the end of it, he takes the husband to the side and basically tells him, if you beat this woman again, I'm going to throw you off a pier with a pair of cement shoes.
Yeah, basically.
Tie like a bowling ball around your neck or something. He basically is like, I'm going to kill you. You'll never know that it was me, because I'll get you when no one... Like, it was just like the craziest thing. Like, I really thought, like, oh, he'll kill this man.
But he's also super upset with the guy because the guy went to a bar after he beat the shit out of his wife, and Andy pulled him out of that bar, and the guy bit him on the leg.
Bit his knee, and it's just like...
What's also weird about that scene is the woman comes into the... early in the episode, she comes into the squad room, and she's like, can I speak to Andy Sipowicz? And Andy Sipowicz sees her, and he knows what's up, and she's like, I want to take my husband out of prison. I don't want it to go to trial. I'm going to take away the charges. I don't care. And then he brings her into the bathroom and shows, like, takes off her sunglasses and, like, look at this.
No.
This is going to keep happening. Don't you realize if you get him out, he's going to blame you for everything and then beat you worse? Like,
I felt like this was a time where, like, men didn't understand, like, men didn't get abuse towards women, you know what I mean? And how, like, it's hard for women to leave. Like, they didn't get they didn't understand the psyche of it, really, or cared to understand. So I feel like this writing is kind of funny, because Sipowicz is basically like, just leave. Just leave. It's super easy. Just leave. Like, all you gotta do is leave. You won't get beat up.
Well, if you...
She had all these other implications into it.
Well, if you remember, she also said that he was paying for her mother's care.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's more than just, like, she can't just leave. You know what I mean?
So
there's a lot tied into it.
He went to Sylvia, and he's like, what can we do? And she's like, you got to refer to, like, women's homes or something and just get him away from her, because that's the only thing that's going to do it. And then when he's like, okay, there's no way for me to fix this situation, then he pulls him aside at the courthouse. It's like, if you beat her, I'm going to fucking murder you. And he does it with Sylvia in view. Sylvia sees him threaten this guy.
Yeah, no, but Sylvia doesn't know what he says. That's why he pulled it far away. Like, she knows he's probably threatening to kill him. Like, she just knows that's what the conversation that's happening. But, yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, Sipowicz kills it. I'm looking through... Oh, there is the scene. Bradley Whitford is back, who was the guy from Billy Madison.
Yeah, he is basically Harvey Levin.
Uh-huh. He's Harvey Levin.
He's TMZ. He's like that guy. He's breaking news, but he's breaking like the smutty part of news, not real news. So to sum this episode up, they basically set up the goodbye of Caruso.
Slowly. It's a very slow burn.
Like, you can feel it, though. You can feel that, like, they're really going after him.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that I have left in my notes, there's a scene where Bradley Whitford has an interview with Gina.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was kind of like the writers of NYPD Blue giving like a big fuck you to the press and like the entertainment press. Because Bradley Whitford's character even goes to Caruso and's like, you want $100,000? Because you're going to lose your job anyway, so you might as well make some money after you get out.
I could see that, but I think that's a lot of people in media.
So.
But I thought there was up until... I haven't got to watch episode 4 yet, but episodes 1, 2, and 3, I felt there was a lot of subtlety, a lot of subtle, like, hits towards John Kelly, like, people talking shit about him, like, small little things here and there, and I thought that that was, like, Botchko and Milch's way of basically being like, fuck you, you're an asshole. Like, I felt like there was little, like, character assassinations of John Kelly that they were kind of, like, trying to, like, put on him, you know?
Yeah, and I want to read one thing, because we are starting season 2, which everybody knows is it's the year of Bobby Simone, of Jimmy
Smits. It's the dawn of the Smits.
Of the Smits.
It's the dawn of the Smits.
I want to read the back of the DVD, because slowly I've been buying the DVDs for our dad, and we've been watching them too. But when you buy a DVD, they have to put something on the back of the DVDs, and it's always usually a little blurb. I wanted to read the blurb. It's really dumb, and I'm probably going to cut it out, but I don't care. Because it made me laugh when I looked at it. After the critical acclaim of the award-winning success of NYPD Blue's first season, fans were stunned when it was announced that David Caruso would be leaving the show early in its second season. Fans and critics alike held their breath, wondering if the show's talented ensemble cast could survive his departure. But they need not have worried. The Emmy Award-winning Jimmy Smits stepped into a newly vacant spot, quickly making it his own. Now journey back to 1994 and join the cops of the 15th Precinct in welcoming Detective Bobby Simone to the second season of NYPD Blue. And I was like, that's like the best written thing about what happened ever. Like, don't worry, yeah, Jimmy Smith.
The only thing that comes to my mind is like, it's like way too detailed.
It is very detailed.
For the back of a DVD box, you know? Like, I don't need a description. I bought it for a reason.
Well,
like, the only time a description I ever bought a DVD, a box DVD that I'd never seen the TV show of was 6 Feet Under. About the first season, because I read the back of the box, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But most of the time I don't do that. Anyways.
I just love how, because that's one thing I wish we could discuss, but it's hard to, like, I mean, we have the internet, so we probably could do it. I wonder what it was really like for all those people to hear David Caruso was leaving. Because apparently, like, he was the best, according to everybody who was watching the show.
Yeah, people loved him. I don't get it. It gets so much better.
It's because we have the hindsight of watching the later seasons before the first one.
Yeah.
But, like, I can't imagine once Smits steps into the scene, you go, oh, why did we even worry? Why did we even give a shit about this Caruso guy?
But, yeah, well, Smits was supposed to be in the first season, but he declined. I don't understand. Like, everything that I've ever read about, like, that this for the seasons and about the show, everyone talks about Caruso, and I don't get it. Because he's not, like, the greatest. Sipowicz is better. Mm-hmm. Fucking Fancy's better. It's just, I don't know.
Metaboy's better. Oh, that's who we didn't talk about.
Who gives a fuck?
We'll end on this. Metavoy is divorcing his
bitching
wife.
Bitching again. Just say it.
He's
just
bitching.
He's bitching again.
Kyle, you know,
day, same bitching.
He's bitching again, but there's a moment where, and it's clear that Abbandando's gonna, like, have sex with him.
I think Abbandando's been having sex with him.
But there's a scene that kind of took me by surprise in the middle of this episode, where she's like, you know what, Gregory? Here's your problem. I've been reading books about divorce. Number one, why is she reading books about divorce? Then she sits down.
Both women who have men going through something, like Sylvia went to Al-Anon.
Mm-hmm.
She's reading about divorce. They're both trying to understand their men, while the men just don't give a fuck about their women. So funny.
And then she's like, I've got what's going to make this pass for you. And she gives this speech that's, like, straight out of a hockey movie. Like, it seems like it belongs in a hockey movie about guys in a, like, rec league. Where she's like, we're gonna go to Madison Square Garden, and we're gonna see the New York Rangers take to the ice, and we're gonna see that Stanley Cup banner in all of its splendor. If that doesn't make you believe you can achieve your dreams, then you don't have a heart in your chest. And I was like, what the fuck is... What happened? Is this the Mighty Ducks 4? Like, what did we step into? But it's, like, so big for Abbandando right at that point. And it was... I don't know. It seemed random.
Abbandono basically tells him, stop being a bitch, let's go to a hockey game and we can fuck after. Like, you need to live life, you need to have fun, stop worrying about your mangy-ass wife.
Mangy-ass? Like,
you have this hot piece of blonde ass in front of you, and we got season tickets to the Rangers, like, be a man.
When did you turn into, like, a BET comic? Like,
oh, racist. Because I say mangy, that means I'm urban?
No, wow. you said mangy-ass
wow,
wife.
Wow, someone sees color in words.
Yeah, I do. I see color in words, like the N-word. anyway. See, it's way funnier when you think about it.
It is. Yeah, this episode just basically sets up Sylvia and Sipwood's getting back together.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of starts to foreshadow Donna and Greg having problems because Greg's being a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
He's bitching about the fucking shooting range. Oh my god. Oh, what a bummer. You got paid to go fire a gun. Oh, that sucks. Like, oh, life's so
Kyle,
hard.
Kyle, he didn't fire a gun. He waited in traffic there and back.
Yeah, but then he to fire a gun, but got paid for it. Like, he got paid to sit in traffic. Get the fuck over it. Most people don't get paid to sit in traffic, dildo. Like, I don't know. It's not like it was, like, that tough. Anyways.
It's also setting up that eventually John's gonna get muscled out.
Yeah, they're coming for him full throttle.
Full throttle.
Ghost Rider 2 style.
Isn't that Charlie's Angels 2 style?
I don't know. I was just guessing that Ghost Rider had something throttle, because that's
motorcycling. That was Spirit of Vengeance.
Oh, God.
Anything else about this episode you want to talk about?
No, not really.
Alrighty. Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBrothersPodcast.com. We're on Twitter at AstroBrosPod, on Instagram at AstroBrothersPodcast. And every episode is going to be coming out every other Tuesday. So look out for that. And every episode of Astro Brothers Podcast is available. And there's over 100 of those. So if you are really upset that there's not going to be a new episode every week, just check out AstroBrothersPodcast.com.
Oh my gosh. That was a lot.
I know.